Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Welcome, 434-1790. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
Yes, not too bad. Thanks for yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. I can't complain.
Lovely. I'm calling. I don't know if you'll be able to give me some guidance here. If you're a secondary contact person and you haven't gotten back your results 24, 48, 72 hours, can your employer insist that you still come to work?
Well, that's the point that Mr. Lashley was saying this morning on the program. If you are a secondary contact and you're supposed to be self-isolated, have you been given instructions to self-isolate before until you receive the result?
Yeah,
but then you can't go back. You simply can't go back to work. So what Mr. Lashley was saying is that in a situation like yours, on principle, you cannot return to work and your employer should not be in a position to force you to return to work. That was the basis of his argument. So, yeah. The problem, ma'am, is that if you are away from work for 72 hours, the question is then who is going to pay you? Are you going to be paying national insurance? You know, who's going to pay you?
Okay.
That's a reasonable point, because it's one thing to say, okay, your employer has no basis to instruct you to come back to work. But if you are to remain at home, there has to be some understanding as to who is going to pay. Is the employer going to be forced to pay you for the length of time it takes Dos Santos to come up with your result? You know, what is the principle there?
But then if you go back to her and your second test is positive, what happens now?
No, but that's the point. You can't go back to work because the Ministry of Health has told you you cannot go back to work. If you go back to work before you have been receiving a negative test, you are breaking the protocols.
Right.
So there shouldn't be any conversation or discussion about your returning to work. You can't. It's as simple as that. The question is, how do you convey that information to your employer?
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you for calling. And I do hope that situation can be resolved. All right. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 434-1790. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. Someone has made a correction. They're saying that I keep talking about self-isolating. It's not self-isolating. It's self-quarantine. The word isolate is for positive cases. So self-quarantine is what you're supposed to do if you're anticipating the result. And that clarification has to be made. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Am I on? Are you hearing me? Yes, yes.
You're on the radio, please.
Mm-hmm. Good. So the couple of things I'm hearing that I thought we need to clarify, and I think the Ministry of Health and others may have to clarify through a PSA. People are using primary and secondary, and I'm not too sure if they're really clear on themselves what primary and secondary refers to. A primary contact is one who made contact with a person who has had COVID, whereas a secondary person has had contact with a primary. So a secondary is one who has contact with someone who has a contact. And there were place regulations in the health sector where secondary contacts are actually just supposed to monitor themselves and self-monitor and continue activities. And when that primary contact, or if that primary contact becomes positive, then the secondary becomes primary and a different set of protocols apply for the secondary who becomes primary, which means they need to isolate now and await the results. So I can understand where the public is confused. I think it needs to be some sort of clarification and protocol set up nationwide, because if every secondary contact wants to stay home, we could as well have a shutdown for 14 days and wait for everybody to get clear. Because everybody knows somebody who knows somebody out of contact, really and truly. So that I understand the concern and needs clarifying. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is the bus crawl. I mean, I saw an article in this morning's paper where the writer seemed to suggest that the bus crawl has been excessively identified or being made the culprit, where some other clusters elsewhere are not getting the same attention. But what I want to probably say is that some of the clusters occurred, maybe half dozen or dozen, where we're probably at the restaurant of eating places. I'm not disclosing anything unusual because it's been said in public. And those persons, they have had a signing book on the sheet where the health officials were able to go review the signing book and contact trace those persons and do what they need to do. In the case of the bus crawl, where there's, I imagine, first of all, there's no such thing and no one can tell me otherwise. Then the health officials had to use other measures, which meant that they had to go public and making public call outs for persons who may have been at the bus crawl or associated bus call to come and get tested, as what happened last weekend, and you saw what happened at the event the very next morning. So, and the reality matter, and there's no sugarcoating it, the bus call was a super spreader. By definition, super spreader, and you cannot call it anything else. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that it was the entertainment industry, but we knew that the entertainment industry had a more than average higher predisposition to it, because the nature of the entertainment industry was such that persons were going to have a drink in their hand all night for the next 6 hours, under the pretense of having a drink and not wear a mask, and with a drink or two on board, is unlikely they're going to have a 3 foot or 6 foot spacing. So we always knew they warned that the entertainment industry was a high risk, and maybe the government in their wisdom may have facilitated or allowed it because it is part of economic activity. But the reality of the matter is that entertainers must realize that the nature of their business does put them at a higher category or risk category than, say, someone else in another job. So, I mean, I don't think the health officials are out there deliberately trying to pinpoint or lay the burden of blame on a bus call. But the reality of the matter is the bus call was a super spreader. There's no other way of putting it. And that is the reality. And so as a super spreader,
What do you think would have been the alternative? What would you think would be the alternative policy that you would have preferred? Taking what you just said into consideration. Yeah.
To the bus call or otherwise? Well, no, to be honest, people could reasonably say since March last year, when we had that shutdown, although it wasn't really clearly stated, people had reasonable assumptions that there was no in-country spread, and that was a reasonable assumption. And Beijing's got comfortable. Beijing got comfortable, they relaxed, and I can understand why. In the back of my mind, I was all very uncomfortable that Beijing were so comfortable with it. And in my mind, I was saying, you know, a little cluster here and there might break us up. Mm-hmm. You know, I never wanted something like this. Maybe what happened in Italy or something else might have been a little wake-up call to get Beijing together. I was very, very anxious and nervous as we approached full years and Christmas. And it was inevitable. And to be honest, all the ducks lined up in a bad way for us, because we did have the bus call at Christmas, the tourism coming in, and everything just lined up for a very bad turn-up event. And so it was more than a reminder for us. But, the health officials are not in the business of victimizing or pinpointing or looking at color of skin or hair or whatever the case may be. The reality is it was a super spreader, and it had to be dealt with aggressively. And so that's the reality.
I get that, but to some extent, your point about the fact that the nature of the business that Barbados is in, you know, is it creates a level of vulnerability, because we are in the entertainment industry. We encourage people to come to Barbados and fraternize. And, you know, it's hard then to say to people, don't do what you come to Barbados to do, because we think that it's unsafe. We could as well tell them no bother to come. And then it has impacts on people's livelihoods. So It has been challenging. And the reason why I was asking you about the solution was because I'm saying that, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, the bus crawl is a super spreader and that's a reality and we can't get away from it. But the other reality is, you know, what exactly is the alternative? Do we ban entertainment and suffer the consequences as a result?
Well, I don't think if you want to ban entertainment totally, but I'm saying that there's some at higher risk and some at low risk. And I mean, you can't argue with me that in a bus designed for maybe 20 that has in 40 or 50 for 6 hours non-stop all night from 9 till 3 maybe with person who have a drink in their hand, therefore they don't have on mask, is something that you want to encourage. And you probably want, if you do go back that road, maybe in a space and a place where you can probably have some sort of balance and control. I'm not trying to identify any particular entertainer, but that's the reality. That's hard fact. So I can't get away from that. And the last thing, I understand, I'm not too sure this has a pay. You know, I understand we want to stick has a pay, and every single body when is a driver, right up, were exposed. Are we now going to say just now that maybe some motors give all their mechanics some sort of laundry allowance, and then maybe a soldier gets has a pay for when he goes to war? I don't know. Where does it stop? Maybe we need to probably talk to people and say, hey, this is probably a harsh allowance for that one period of time. But basically, it's tantamount to having a pay increase across the public sector if we're going to give everyone has a pay. And that's something that is a national conversation and not just an institutional conversation.
But I'm hearing that some of the banks pay the staff has a pay, I'm told.
I'm not aware of that, but I mean, that's a private sector.
Someone told me that some of the banks have given their staff hazard pay. I mean, I think Dennis is in a good position to ask for hazard pay. I don't know, Dennis, you getting hazard pay? You know, he's shaking his head. He's not getting hazard pay. But to some extent, since DJ's all about you know, are going at these events, then maybe he should also ask for salary pay. The reality, sir, is that, well, precisely. I mean, I guess we would have to hear David in the chair on that one. The reality, sir, is that you're making a very valid point, and this is what I've been saying from the beginning of the afternoon. Every single person is, in a sense, exposing themselves to some, well, not me, because I'm not even in Barbados, but, you know, every person is exposing themselves to some level of risk. So how then do you determine that some people should and some people shouldn't? While we were in the course of our conversation, I have a WhatsApp message here from a lady who says, Peter, I'm a nurse, and I believe it's not fair to give hazard allowance to a selective few extra and not to the others whose lives are in just as much danger. The nurses and doctors at the psychiatric hospital have to deal with patients that come without prejudice, COVID-19 or not. The only fair thing is either give all or give none. And I have a WhatsApp from another lady who's saying, Peter, don't forget the housekeepers. The housekeepers need to be given hazard pay because they clean the rooms. And it could go on and on. And I mean, you know, over the course of every conversation, you've been hearing different people saying, you know, that they believe that they're entitled. And you quite rightly said, it's only a matter of time before the mechanics at Simpson Motors say that them should be getting hazard pay too. I'm surprised that the people who drive the minibuses haven't been asking for hazard pay, you know?
For risk, and, on the job risk. Yeah.
Right, for risk allowance. And then I remember when, you remember when we had all of those cruise ships parked in Barbados, right? And all of those cruise ships, the passengers had to be moved from the port to the airport. And you would see these long convoys of tour buses being shuttled under police escort between I don't know if, well, we were on lockdown, so you really shouldn't have seen too much of it. As well, if you were lucky enough to be outside, you would see it. And my question is, are you hearing none of these people asking for hazard allowance? And none of these people seem to have been affected either, you know? Yeah. But to some extent, they also put themselves at considerable risk to be able to transport people who didn't even know what the COVID status was, you know?
So the entire population may have been exposed at some point. So maybe we need to say, well, this payment is for those who went through and due difficulty during the shutdown to accommodate the preparation of the country. Maybe we define what hazard pay is, because hazard pay may be bad to you. Yeah.
Somebody else is saying that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital advocated for their staff. All the other institutions like the police force, public health workers, and the polyclinics who were testing staff at DeSantos were under pressure from the get-go, and the staff at LRU. Peter, as a nurse of over 40 years, I worked on the front line. Also, I volunteered, and I'm not looking for anything. However, if we are all in it together, then no one should be paid. Ma'am, I could not agree with you more. I don't even know who it is, but I am agreeing with you fully that either everyone should get or no one should get, because in the final analysis, this is not a normal situation. When we had the HIV crisis, I wasn't aware that people were paid to work with HIV patients before we knew how infection was and so on. So yeah, that's it. That's my view. I'm comfortable with that position. Down to brass tacks. Thanks a lot, sir. That's it? Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm good, Mama. Yourself?
I'm not too bad. Now, I just have 2 points here to me. I know that we talk a lot about who should get paid and who shouldn't get paid. But I sit here, even when the Prime Minister was making her announcement, and not once had I heard anybody said anything about we good postmen and women. Everybody seems to forget them. But even before COVID got at this stage, remember when it was in the States last year, and it didn't get down here. If it used to hold on to males, when it got to Barbados, we postmen and we postwomen would have it, but nobody talks about them. Yet every time I look, they are on the road 24. So everybody forget the postmen and women. Number two, this bus crawl.
Hold on. Before we go to the bus crawl, ma'am, yes. I had a postman who messaged me earlier and said that he does not support this idea of any hazard allowance. He was a postman. He went out and he did his job while COVID was going on, but he doesn't support this idea of hazard allowance for reasons that were consistent with what we were saying earlier.
So he's only one.
You're a postperson?
No, please. But then every time I look, I see them.
But you're speaking on behalf of post people.
Yes, I am. Somebody has to speak for them. Okay. He said what he said, but I don't think that everybody would agree with what he said, because all I know.
But hold on. When you look, you see policemen too, right?
I see policemen, I see other people.
Right. And when you look, you see bus drivers and bus conductors carrying people that they pick up at the side of the road, they don't know anything about. You see that?
I see everybody, but like I said,
when you look, you see loaders. You see loaders from the SSA picking up people's garbage that don't know what in the garbage. You see all of that too?
I see everything, but why are you trying to understand
is what is your special interest in poor people? Because what we're trying to do here is advocate for a national position on hazard pay.
No, what I'm trying to say, I heard every name that you just mentioned to me mentioned except for postmen and women. That's all I'm saying.
Right, but ma'am, what you're misunderstanding is that I am not for one moment saying that I think that all of these people should be getting hazard pay. I am saying that I think that because the list is so long, that no one should be getting hazard pay. That's my position. You support that position?
Yes, no problem. What are you trying to say? If you're going to remember one person, okay, remember everybody.
Enough.
Just bring
all right,
everybody.
No problem.
Thank everybody. The second thing now with the bus crawl.
What's the bus crawl position?
No. I'm just suggesting to you that a lot of people do not know that some of the prison officers, police, all different entities go to nightclubs to work for extra funds. Some of these people who were brought in here that were supposed to be under quarantine, that brought the quarantine, went to some of these clubs. It's a possibility that these people that went and the people that was working at the club, like security, policemen, prison officers, did not know and probably how they came in contact with this thing that caused the whole problem at the prison. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Okay. Fair enough, ma'am.
All right.
Thanks so much for calling.